I'm just going to give you a little heads up, just so that maybe by the time this prayer is over, you and I can be somewhat close to the same page. So I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. I absolutely believe that this year, 2022, can be the best year in your existence. I absolutely believe that this year can be the best one that you have ever lived. I sincerely believe that this year can be the year where for you faith goes, ah, there it is. I believe that. Now, look, you're here. So I'm giving you like 70, 80% credit. You haven't given up. You haven't written it off. And all that we've been through in the past couple of years, you're still hanging on. I mean, it may be a death grip, but you are hanging on. But church, we're going to see this morning, we are going to see this morning that God has given us something to be so much more than just hanging on. This year we're going to thrive. This year we're going to thrive. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Let's ask Him to show us how. Our Father in heaven, we bow our heads before You. We humble ourselves because You are God. Father, You show us all the time. You show us every day. You show us in amazing ways how great You are. And we're just so filled with joy to be able to sing songs of praise to You. We're filled with joy to be able to commune with You through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are overjoyed because You have taken our sin and removed it from us. You have taken us when we were nothing and You added us to Your family. You took us, Lord, when all we had was our faith in You. And You wrote our name in Your eternal book. Father, we do not take these things lightly. Father, I know that You want so much more from Your children than just survival. You want so much more from us to just holding on. Father, You have called us not to retreat, but to victory. And I pray, Lord, that Your word this morning will work in our hearts so we can step closer towards that victory. Father, I know I come to You with mighty big things, but I believe You to be a mighty big God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've really faced some challenges that had to be overcome the last couple of years. And one of the things that's really still with everything that's been going on, one of the things that we're facing is how people have changed. How we've changed. How we look at people differently. And really what it comes down to is whether it's, you know, you can get into the discussion of all the reasons and source and causes. But really what we see around us is a coarseness that has developed in people. That kindness is no longer the go-to. Kindness is not our default setting anymore. That self-preservation has risen on our little hierarchy of needs. Self-preservation has risen to such a level that we have neglected some of the things even greater than that. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's where people are. Not just us. I mean, it's even wilder out there. We are surrounded by fear. Crime is up. We're isolated every opportunity we get or someone else gets for us. And we are bristling against one another. Rubbing shoulders doesn't feel the same. We're going through and we have created for ourselves a hope bubble. Like, I hope your bubble doesn't mess with my bubble. We began January, and I told you this, the things we looked at Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 and saw the things that the Apostle Paul writes to the church and says, look, this is what your faith needs. And I'm trying to continue that, church, because I believe that this is what our faith needs, this is what our church needs, and this is what the world needs. And you have it. You have it. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12 that because lawlessness increases, the love of many will grow cold. I think he knew something. Because lawlessness increases, and we see that, it's happening. It's happening all around us. The love of many will grow cold. That's what he means. If I'm afraid of my neighbor, I'm going to have a little harder time loving my neighbor. If I meet someone who is not any longer a potential friend, but truly a stranger, then I revert back to my stranger danger days. Right? Yeah. Because lawlessness increases, the love of many will grow cold. Church, we can't be a part of that. We can't be a part of that. We can't be a part of allowing our love to grow cold. And this morning, I hope that God works in us so that we can hear this. But I am about to put a smile on, because I've got good news. I got good news. Is it there? I'm working on my smile, okay? It's been through photo evidence, apparently my smile is not as big as I thought it was. We just happened to be taking some pictures yesterday. I thought my face was about to crack. I was like, push the button. I saw the video evidence. I was like, that's it? That's my smile? I mean, I felt like I was really going for it. And I look like those kids' school pictures, you know, second, third grade, where they don't know how to smile yet. Comes out all over the place. Yeah. It's like, how am I going to have to work on that? Really thought I had a smile. I thought I was pushing myself. Church, I've got good news. I really do. I really do. We have what the world needs, and God has given us plenty of opportunity to share it. That's good news. He says, I've given you everything you need to make a difference in this world. And look. Look right out there. There's windows of opportunity to use all this good that I have blessed you with. Church, the world needs mercy. And you and I have been shown mercy by God. We know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. And we've got to know how to trust it and to share it, because they need it too. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. First, we're going to make the case for mercy. We're going to make the case for mercy. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Why mercy? Why mercy? Why do I have to treat others well when they don't treat me well? Why do I have to forgive other people when they hurt me? Why do I have to love and love and love some more? Matthew 18, 21. Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, I'll pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I'll pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he shall pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. God looks at his servant who had begged him, "Please forgive me. Just let me work it off. Just give me an opportunity." God doesn't do that, does he? God doesn't give us an opportunity to work it off towards him. You can't work it off with God. Jesus sent his only son into this world to die for our sins, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. The debt that we owe God is too great. It's too vast. It's too big. I can't make any empty promise to God. "God, I promise I'm gonna do all the good. I'm gonna do all the good and I'm gonna make this right." There is no making it right. We have insulted and desecrated his holiness by our own sin. And the only way that any of us stand at all is because of the mercy that he has shown us. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'll accept that you're going to work this off." He says, "I will forgive the debt." We are forgiven the debt that we owe God. And in stark contrast, he tells that this same servant who has been forgiven so much goes out and finds one of the fellow servants, one of his equals, who owes him a little bit. And he goes right into violence. He starts choking him. "Pay me what you owe. Give me every bit." And his fellow servant says, please. Look, I beg of you, just give me a chance. Give me a chance and I'll pay you back. Forget it. And he has him thrown in jail. And Jesus comes and says, "Look, all of you hoping to follow me, all of you putting your trust in God, you have to understand how great a debt that God has erased from your account. And that erasing of debt determines your steps with all your fellow servants." So why mercy? Why mercy? That's how God works. Church, that's how God works. Now we've seen other tries, other attempts. You better believe in God. You better put your hope and trust in God, or he's gonna get you. That's effective, isn't it? Yeah, we've seen lots of attempts. So maybe we just don't see enough of what God says to do. Maybe we just don't see enough of doing it his way. Church, you're here. You're here because you were saved his way. Fair? We have to know and believe in our hearts that the same God and the same power that saved us from sin and death is still active, alive, and available to the lost today. Because God has shown us mercy, we must be merciful to others. Let's turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, I'll find it. There we go. James chapter 2, we're going to see, okay, so who gets our mercy? Who gets our mercy? James chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 8. 2:8. Okay, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing great. That's nice, isn't it? It's nice when the Bible tells you you're doing awesome. I love that. I mean, we like it when other people tell us we're doing great, right? It's like a gold star on the paper of your faith. You're doing great. James chapter 2, verse 9. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Forever, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, imagine, if you will, a murderer looking down on an adulterer. Well, at least I never cheated. That's what James is saying here. That's, yes, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Well, yeah, we've all got our own problems. I mean, I got my thing, you got your thing, but at least I don't have their thing. No. Love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill that, you're doing well. No partiality. No picking and choosing. No picking and choosing. We can't be partial, church. Now, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment, so mercy must be the law by which we live. Now, here's a mind blower. I want everyone to point a finger at the person in this room that they have forgiven more than anybody else in the world. I'm just kidding, okay? Some of you were a little quick to point. It wasn't a hard question, yeah. We forgive those around us easily, right? You had more than 3 anniversaries? You forgive somebody on a regular. Your kids had more than 4 birthdays? You forgive on the regular. You're still here? You forgive on the regular. Mercy doesn't show partiality. Church, we're talking about a whole new thing when the church just does what God says and doesn't pick and choose who receives his gifts and his love because of how someone might treat us or talk to us or betray us or hurt us. God does this crazy, otherworldly, beautiful, insane thing and just says, be merciful. But they... Be merciful. But you don't need it. Be merciful. You know how many of us just look at the rich young ruler and go, glad I'm not that rich. I never walk away from Jesus. Right? Show no partiality. Now, church, here's the here it is, and here's why I use the word crazy, because our fleshly hearts, that is crazy. It is crazy to forgive someone else as much as I forgive my wife, my kids, myself, my church, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to show that kind of mercy to everyone. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? I keep no account. I keep no account. You know how you live among other people? You ever bumped into somebody? You bumped into somebody. What came out of your mouth? Excuse me. Sorry. Now, I'm not saying you bumped into him with your car. I'm saying like you were at Walmart and you bumped into him. You bumped into him. You apologized. It was a social grace, and they looked at you. Oh, it's okay. You looked at them. Thank you very much. And you went about your way. And 2 minutes later, you say, hey, what color of hair was that person you bumped into? What person? Exactly. Yeah, but they didn't just bump into me, Michael. They hurt me. They stole from me. They took what was mine. They caused offense. They're nasty. They're ugly. They're constant. I forgive you. So what gets in the way? What gets in the way between me saying, oh, excuse me, it's all right, think nothing of it, and I can't forgive that? What is it? What is it? What's in between? It's only us. It's only us. Could you get upset every time someone bumped into you in public? I mean, could you take it to the next level? I mean, you see it all around you, do you not? It happens all the time. People choose how they react to someone doing something to them. You and I every day choose how we react to what's happening to us. We choose. I'm going to let that go because it's not worth it, or I'm going to throw a fit. Your choice. True? Fair? Absolutely. So why don't we choose mercy? So why don't we just choose to trust God? Why don't we just choose to focus instead on all that He has forgiven us and say, hey, you know what? I want other people to taste that too, because it's good stuff. And I'm just going to be light. I'm just going to be light. Yeah, but they didn't anything. They bumped into me. They said they were sorry. You know what? They didn't even know they bumped into me. They didn't even have to say they were sorry. I just forgave them anyway. Who's got a smile on their face? You know who doesn't have a smile on their face? Oh, they owe me. They hurt me. They treated me bad. They took from me. They took advantage of me. No mercy there. There's no mercy there. Church, we have to forgive suffering as easily as someone who bumps into us. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy wins. Mercy is the victory. Is mercy your victory? I mean, isn't that how God got to you? Yes! Yes! You went to Him and said, I'm sorry, I'll repay, I'll do whatever I can. He said, let me take care of it. Okay, I can do that. I'm going to let you take care of it. And He does. And He does. So now, when I look at other people, when I try to live among other people, When I interact with other people, you know what I'm going to continue to do? Let God take care of it. Because when you and I put it in our own hands, what happens? It's a mess. It is an absolute mess. And you and I lose our religion on a daily basis and think nothing of it. You and I look nothing like Jesus. But it's all good. It's all good. Because we still have our Bibles. Church, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Luke chapter 6. This is the one that Tony read for us. Luke chapter 6. I want to take a look at two things in here real quick. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Specifically verse 31. I'm in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus says, loving your enemies, blessing those who curse you, praying for those who abuse you, not getting even, not destroying, not inflicting the same amount of pain. And he's saying all these things. Look what he says in Luke 6, 31. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now, look, this is really cool. How do you want the world to look? Live it. Live it. Church, that's the power of mercy. That's the power of mercy. Because it doesn't matter what news comes out this week to make us all go, blah! It doesn't matter how scared or mad or bristly everybody else is that I come into contact with, I get to choose the world that I live in. I get to choose. I got up today and I got to choose. Today I'm going to walk by faith. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and I get to choose. Today I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust God just a little bit more than everybody else. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Isn't that amazing? That is good news. The world you want to live in, that's how you live. Someone's not treating you right, treat them right. Someone's giving you a hard time, give them an easy time. Mercy triumphs over judgment. There's no other way. There's no other way. We can't out evil the world and expect good to win. It doesn't work that way. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Now, church, I love this. Mercy is the family business. Mercy is the family business. One of my greatest regrets in my entire life was that my dad did not build a business from the ground up and give it to me when he was ready to retire. No, I'm serious. I've spent a lot of time daydreaming and having that wish. I always just wanted that family thing that granddad started and dad ran, and one day I would just step into and know my role and just keep it going. Just be a steward of the family business. One of my greatest regrets that didn't happen for me. Yeah. God has made us a part of the family business, and the family business is mercy. You want to be sons and daughters of the Father Most High? Then you love and you forgive. Who? How many times? Oh, just the evil and the ungrateful. Let's start there. In fact, you find the right person, it'll only take once. Forget 77. Just forgive them once. See what happens. See what happens. Church, this truly is the family business. God is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be like God. Be like God. Jesus has given us his kingdom. And we bring it to the world when we live according to his rules and his rule. Church, I am fully convinced that mercy can change more around us than just about anything else. Because that's how God changed me. That's how God changed you. He showed you mercy. He showed you mercy. He says, hey, I just want this to keep on going. It's good stuff. God says, I've shown it to you. Now you go show it to others. Because it really is good stuff. Church, I want you to have the best year. I want 2022, to be your best year yet. And it's only going to be possible if we stop looking around and going, nope, it's going to get worse. Yeah, it is. Newsflash, I told you 2 years ago it's going to get worse. It wasn't prophetic. All right? So we know how the world's going. Jesus said it, not me. Things are going to go from bad to worse. Go back and read that Matthew chapter 24. You want a bright ray of sunshine with your lunch? It's going to get worse according to worldly standards. Oh, there it is. You and I don't live according to worldly standards. You and I live according to eternal kingdom standards. Right? Right? So this gets to be our best year yet. This year gets to be our best year yet. All right. So I'm going to close out with this. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I wanted to close out. Mark read this psalm for us for the table last week. And this beautiful picture of mercy towards us. It's everything. God showing us mercy in these great big ways is just all the motivation we need to be like him and to extend mercy. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God is so good that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He makes you strong because of his steadfast love and mercy. Anybody else been tired, worn out, weakened? Just done with it all? Yeah, me too. Me too. But God's mercy, God's steadfast love is what we walk in. And it's not even just what we walk in, it's what we fly in. Verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I'm oppressed, Lord. I need you to fix it. He will. He will. In his time. To serve his purposes. He will work all things out for his glory. And his glory is good. So trust him with it. Trust him with it. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. God does not treat you or give you what you deserve. Church, we can't treat other people by what they deserve. Nobody deserves anything good. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your enemies, your boss, your employee, whoever they are. None of us deserve good. And yet that's what he gives us anyway. God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. So don't deal with other people according to their sins. That's why I'm saying getting bumped on the shoulder or someone slapping you in the face. We're all good. Keep trucking. It's all good. Live light. It's the only way to do it. Because as soon as you take that offense on your account, oh, they owe me. Oh. Hey, has anyone read the one that says you've been bought with a price, you're not your own? Nobody owes you anything. All good belongs to God. His glory be above everything. And all offense is done at His expense. You belong to Him. There was a transactional deal when you said, Lord, save me. I'll take it. I got nothing. And He said, you bet I will, but I want all of you. Church, bottom line, good and bad, all of you is His. That's what you signed up for. So your neighbor didn't insult you. Your neighbor didn't hurt you. Your friend or your enemy didn't hurt you. You're full of Christ. You're full of Christ. Any offense goes straight to Him. Let Him deal with it. Let Him deal with it. Because you and I don't know how to deal with it. We're not made for it. We're not made for vengeance. The Bible tells us that too. We'll get to that another day. Verse 11. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Church, God's steadfast love and mercy towards us is the best reason we have to do the same for others. I can't give you a better argument. There isn't one. It doesn't exist. So look at what God has done for you and realize that God has called you to do the same. God's mercy means that He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. So don't allow your love to grow cold. Show mercy. Make this a merciful year. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, 2022, it's the one. It's the one. If you need to respond this morning, we invite you to do so. If you need to confess your sins, if you want to give God all the bad and receive all the good, He's here for you. If you want prayers from the body, if you've just got that person that you just haven't been able to show mercy to and we just need to pray with you, you can respond that way. If you're just tired of looking around and just sticking your finger in the air and seeing which way the winds are blowing today of how you're going to react to the world, we'll pray for you as well. Whatever you need. Let's stand together and sing.